Good to be in the house of God tonight. I don't know about you, but no other place I'd rather be only tonight than in the church, house of God. People come up with all kinds of excuses not to be there, but I'm glad to be here. I'm glad you're here. We had a good turnout for Wednesday night. This is the biggest turnout I think we've had on Wednesday since I've been here. We ought to throw you a diaper shower every Wednesday night. I'm glad you're here. If we all turn to Psalms chapter 1, I'm not going to take too much of your time. I know we got some festivities to get to and got kids to get back to school tomorrow, but I do have something I want to try to bring to you. Psalms chapter number 1. Psalms 1, I'll go ahead and read the whole chapter to you. It's only 6 verses there. It says in Psalms 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand the judgment, or sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Just go ahead and dive right into this chapter here. Once we get through, I'm going to try to bring a message to you. This chapter is very quick, very simple. You can very quickly outline this chapter. So I'm going to go through it real quick. It's very short, very precise, very to the point. The author here is what they're trying to say. They don't waste any time. They cut all the meat out, get down to the bones, the crux of the matter. And these few short 6 verses here, he doesn't waste any time. He gives us 2 paths to follow, and he tells us what's going to happen if we choose either one of those paths. Very simply, you can outline this real quick. Number one, the holiness and happiness of a godly man, the sinfulness and misery of a wicked man, and the reason for both of those. Very simply. So let's just take a couple minutes and look at each one of these. Number one, the holiness and happiness of a godly man. Verse number 1, start out. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." That first word there, blessed, that literally means just to be happy. That's what that word means. The Bible says if you want to be happy, don't listen to ungodly counsel. Pretty simple. But who is the ungodly counsel? Got to get that settled. Who is the ungodly counsel he's talking about? It could be your lost co-worker. Sure. It could be Satan. Sure. But that's also your wicked flesh. Your inward man, the wicked flesh inside you that wants you to sin, that's also ungodly counsel. If you say you're not a sinner, you're lying. 1 John tells us that. So ungodly counsel could very well be your own self. Very well, we listen to ourselves instead of listening to God. This verse here says, if you want to be happy, don't do that. So if you want to be happy, just listen to God. Very simple, like I said. "Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Simplest way I know to put that is, don't look like a sinner. Don't act like a sinner. Don't talk like a sinner. Don't be one. Don't stand in their way. Don't do what they do. Don't sit in their seats. Don't act like one. Keep yourself separate, completely and totally separate. Well, how do you do that? How do you do something like that? The Bible says we are to be a peculiar people. So if we're following the Scriptures in our life, every step the Lord tells us to take, we take. Every thing in the Bible He tells us to do, we do. If we do that, then we'll not be sitting in the seat of the scornful. We'll be blessed and we'll be happy. Like I said, this is not complicated. If you want to be happy, do not walk in the counsel of ungodly. But on the other hand, do not stand in the way of sin. On the other hand, listen to what the Bible says. Very simply. If you want to be happy, listen to God. Who would have thought something like that? Verse number 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Well, how are we going to stay out of trouble and remain happy and holy man? If you're going to be happy, you've got to listen to God, but how do you remain that way? Happy man or woman. Just keep the law of God in your heart. That's what this verse says. If you're saved, if you're living for God, it shouldn't be too hard to delight in His law, delight in following God. Laws are made. We have laws, earthly laws, only for rebellious people. If you're a good person, most of the time you don't need any rules, you don't need any laws. If you're mad about some rules or some laws, especially in the church or at home, that means you're trying to break them. If you want to drive 50 miles an hour and the speed limit is 50 miles an hour, and you have no trouble delighting in that law because you want to go at speed anyway. But the speed limit is 50 miles an hour and you want to go 80 miles an hour, you're not going to have very much peace. You're not going to be able to delight in that law because you're going to be looking over your shoulder looking for blue lights the whole time. If you want to delight in the law of God, you have to want to do the law of God. Want to please God. Want to do His will. You're not going to be happy. You're not going to be blessed if you're trying your best to break the rules. If you want to please God, you want to do God's will, it's very simply, very easy to do. Just do what He tells you to do. Listen to Him. Verse number 3, again. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Notice what he says will happen to you. If you do live a holy life to God, he didn't say you'd be a millionaire living in a mansion. This world is not a home. The Bible teaches us that. He said you'd be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. A tree, steadfast. What's a tree? It's a tree, steadfast, unmovable, always faithful, always there. Every time you come back, it's there, unless it's been knocked down by somebody else. The tree is there, bringing forth its fruit in its season. The tree doesn't uproot it. The tree doesn't pull its roots up, move to the next town, and put its roots back down. The tree remains faithful. That's what a tree is. Bringing forth his fruit in his season. An apple tree doesn't bring forth oranges. A saved person ought to act like a saved person. Bring forth his fruit, godly fruit, in his season. Being who you say you are. God says, if you live a life holy toward me, if you desire to please me, if you want to be happy, then I'll let you be like that tree. I'll let you be faithful, just doing what you're supposed to do. If you remain that way, he said, your leaf shall not wither. In other words, and whatsoever you do, it shall prosper. In other words, he'll take care of you. If you're just like that tree, remain faithful, always abounding, never producing the wrong fruit, acting like a Christian, being a Christian, staying where God told you to go, staying where God told you to stay, God said he protects you. He watches over you. God said you plant your roots down deep. Quit trying to go with whatever's popular at times. Do what you're supposed to do. Do what Scripture tells you. He says he'll let you prosper. God did not promise us riches, but here he did promise for us to prosper. The Bible says he's a debtor to no man. He'll pay you back. He'll take care of you. And I believe that. If you're faithful serving God, bringing forth the right kind of fruit, God is going to bless you and take care. God's not going to punish you for doing what you're supposed to do. Doesn't mean it's all going to be easy. Well, these prosperity evangelists on TV, you send me $5 or buy this prayer cloth, all your bills will be paid. That's not what the Bible says. If you're faithful, the Lord will look after you. Lord will protect you. He'll watch over you. If you want to be happy, blessed is the man that walketh not. If you want to be happy, you want to be blessed, be a blessed man, just do what the Scripture tells you and keep doing what the Scripture tells you until you find something different. So the Scripture tells you to do something different. Do what you're supposed to do. Very simple. So if you want to be a happy, holy man, do what you're supposed to do. Number two, we see the sinfulness and misery of a wicked man. Verses 4 and 5. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The wicked, very simply, again, they're just the opposite of that. They are not so. God says they are not so. They are not prosperous. They're not bringing forth the right fruit. They are not planted down deep. They go wherever the wind takes them. It says they're like the chaff. You probably never know what that means. When they're threshing the wheat and they're harvesting the barley, they take the wheat and they beat it, they crush it down, they throw it up in the air. The seed falls back down. The chaff is drifted away in the wind. He says you're like the chaff. You're gone, blowing in the wind. Wherever the wind takes you is where you're going. Wherever life throws at you, you're gone to the next town, gone doing the next thing. See, chaff was useless. They did not need it. They let the wind carry it off and didn't worry about it anymore. They had no need for it. The Bible tells right here, if you're living that sinful, wicked life, you're just like that chaff. You're absolutely useless. Carried away. Can't put any faith in you. Can't use you. God can't use you because you're never in the same spot. Like the chaff. Always carried away. Always doing something different. God says the wicked are just like they're carried off, just a waste. Not playing anywhere, not firm on anything, not taking a stand on anything that matters, just like a chaff and wind, not getting anything accomplished for God. It says in verse 5, they shall not stand in the judgment. That means they will be found guilty in the judgment. They will not stand. They will be guilty. They have nothing to stand on. They will hang their head in shame, so that means. Come judgment day, they will not have salvation to stand. Not have anything, not any roots down deep, nothing to stand on. And the congregation of the saved gathered together, the wicked will not get that part. They may have their moment of fame down here. That chaff gets a moment of fame for just a minute. Everybody looks up and sees the chaff blown away for just a minute. The wicked may get fame down here, maybe popular down here, but when eternity gets here, they're going to be completely useless. Nothing to stand on. Completely useless to God. So it's very simple. The sinfulness and misery of a wicked man. It's going to be a miserable life not living for God. Number three, verse number six, the reason for both of those. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. God knows what you're doing. He sees when you take a stand. He sees when you don't take a stand. He knows if you're like the chaff or you're like the tree. You may be fooling everybody else. You can't fool God. But he also knows he knows what's going on. The last verse there can be very comforting if you're doing what's right. It can also be very scary, very convicting if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. God knows what you're doing. God knows what's going on. So that's it. The righteous and their reward, the wicked and their punishment, and why both happened. Pretty simple chapter. He doesn't make it complicated for us. Now we've covered that chapter, I want to go back to the very first verse, verse number 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Notice that second phrase, nor standeth in the way of sinners. I told you before I spent standing with sinners, basically going the same way the sinners are going. But I read things very literal sometimes. I read through that and I saw, nor standeth in the way of sinners. And I picture somebody standing in the way of somebody else. As if Fred was standing in front of the door. I'm trying to get out the door, but Fred's standing in my way. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. How is somebody standing in the way of a sinner? So the sinner can pass them. How does somebody do something like that? Bear with me for a little bit. There are times that we are, in fact, standing in the way of a sinner. I'll tell you what I mean. I wonder how many sinners would have come to Christ if it had not been for me and you standing in the way of them getting to Him. Have you ever gotten in the way of some sinner getting to God? Have you ever been the reason somebody did not get to God? That's a scary thought if you think about it. I don't believe God would take that too lightly. That immediately brought to mind a very familiar passage we all know from growing up. Luke chapter number 19. Go ahead and turn to Luke 19. He says, it's not going to be long, it's not going to be complicated. Luke chapter number 19. It says in verse number 1, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was a chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature, and ran before and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came into the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods are given to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said to him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. You all know the story here. Some of you probably heard it your entire life. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem now to be crucified. This is the last time he's coming through Jericho. He's on his way back, coming through Jericho. And Zacchaeus, little Zacchaeus, wants to speak with Jesus. Heard a lot about Jesus, heard the things Jesus can do for you, heard the change Jesus can make in your life, and Zacchaeus wanted to get to Jesus. And that's all he wanted, just a moment with Jesus. He's trying his best to get to him, but he can't get there. He needs Jesus in his life, he wants Jesus to come to his home, but he can't reach him. Why can't he reach him? Because very simply, people are in the way. Can't get to him. People are keeping Zacchaeus from reaching Jesus. Let me ask you, who are you keeping from getting to Jesus? Saved person, who are you getting in the way of to keep them from getting to Him? The devil will always give somebody a reason. They will always put an excuse in somebody's mind why they shouldn't go to church or why they shouldn't be saved. It's not going to be hard to find an excuse. They'll stick excuses in their brain for whatever they need to come up with. They can always find an excuse for not getting saved. The lost world is always watching us. They're watching our every move, watching every step we take, every stand we make or stand we don't make. They're watching to see what we're doing. They want to see if what we have is real or not. They want to know if we truly mean what we say on Sunday or not. The world is watching us, seeing how we're acting, seeing what we're doing when we're away from here as well as when we are here as a church family. You might say, well, how would I keep somebody from getting to Jesus? How would I do something? That's not my problem. How would I get in their way? I'll give you a few examples. Number one, your walk, how you're acting. People are always watching the way you walk outside of church. They want to know if what you have is real or not. They see you during the week. They see what you're doing outside of here. Trouble comes your way. How do you respond to it? On Sundays, the lost people you pass in town. This is a small town. Everybody knows everybody. It's a little bit different here. Everybody knows who you are, and everybody knows what you're doing. They see you. They know you're headed to church. Neighbors see you leave out every Sunday morning, and hopefully Sunday night, hopefully Wednesday night as well. They see where you're going. They know where you're going. They know who you are and who you say you are here. Are you the rest of the saint the rest of the week? This isn't just a Sunday morning religion kind of thing. Being saved, being a child of God is every day sacrifice, waking up every day, laying down your life for Him. Every single day, sacrificing your life for Him, allowing Him to use you. This isn't just a Sunday morning religion. It can't be. If you act like a saved person on Sunday and live like the world the rest of the week, the lost people are going to see right through you, and you're going to be an excuse, and you're going to get in the way of somebody trying to get to Jesus. Why would somebody want to change and start coming to church service when you act just like they do the rest of the time? You're no different than they are. Is someone using your lifestyle as an excuse to not come to church? If they are, you better get out of the way. We're supposed to be setting examples to the ones around us all the time, not standing in front of them, giving an excuse not to come. I would be scared to death to know that I was the reason somebody didn't get saved. I'd be scared to death to know their blood was on my hands. God's going to hold us accountable for that. They're watching. Everybody's always watching. Your testimony affects everyone around you. You take Sundays off for church, but cuss on Mondays, live like the world the rest of the week. You can't be a Christian on Sunday morning and a lost man on Monday morning. It doesn't work. You can't drink Saturday night and come to church Sunday morning and think everything's going to be okay. There's a lot of songs about that, but it's just wrong. It's wicked. You can't do that. Is it even more than that? What are they going to think about your preacher? What are they going to think about New Hope Baptist Church? What are they going to think about us here, the rest of the members here? As a member of this church, you are a testimony. You are a representative of New Hope Baptist Church everywhere you go in this town. People see what you're doing. Are you the reason somebody has an excuse not to come? How is your walk? People see your walk. People can see some sin in your life. Numbers 32:23 says, "But if thou shalt not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." A lot of people like to say their sin won't affect anybody but themselves. I've got news for you. It's not true. Lost people, like I said before, lost people are watching you, waiting for you to trip up. They want to know. If you're lost on dying your way to hell, you don't want to know that what they have is real. You want everybody to be the same as you. They want you to sin. They want you to trip up. They're waiting for you to do that. Don't you think it's not going to affect them when you do? You can't sin and get away with it. It will find you out. It will come to the surface. It will come back to hurt you. It will come back to hurt somebody else. Whatever sin you have stuck in your back pocket, I don't know what it is. I'm not your priest. I don't want to know everything you got going on. My brain's too small for all that. Whatever your sin is going on, you best get it right. You best watch out. It's going to come to the surface. Somebody's going to find out. The Lord is not going to let you get away with it forever, especially if you're saved. Especially if you're saved, the Lord's not going to let you get away with it. It will come to the surface. Be sure your sin will find you out. God didn't stutter when He said that. Very clearly, very clear statement. He didn't lie. Be sure your sin will find out. Maybe a sinner sees what you're doing and thinks, if you can do that and go to church and be okay, I'm probably okay too. Saved person, it matters what you're doing. It matters where you're going. It matters what you're listening to. It matters what you're saying. Everything you do is a testimony of Jesus Christ. That one sin, it may seem small to you. That one sin could very well be the reason that somebody does not get to Him. That one sin could be standing in the way of somebody else getting to Jesus. I heard a sermon that sparked my interest to study this. J. Harold Smith, I don't know if you know about him. He told a story when he was younger. J. Harold Smith is a big, huge-time preacher, evangelist in the South. If you're in the South, you know about J. Harold Smith. Big time. He's gone now. But he told the story. He said he went to church with a boy that they also went to school with. They were friends, went to church and school together. J. Harold Smith at the time was lost. Well, this boy was a very talented singer. He sung in the choir, sung specials, very popular in the church. Because of this, everybody knew that he was a singer. They knew if they called on him, he could sing for them. Well, outside of the church, he also listened to worldly music and do worldly things just like everybody else would. Well, one night this boy came in and sat down beside J. Harold Smith, just like he would every other night, every other Wednesday night. And Smith noticed the boy's eyes were all bloodshot, and he was kind of out of it, talking funny. Come to find out, he'd been out with his wild buddies drinking and smoking and doing wicked things, and then came into the church service, and just like normal, time came for the choir, jumped with the choir and sang his specials. He was popular in the church again. Gerald Smith said he thought, he was just a young boy then, he said, a teenage boy, he said at the time, he remembers saying, if he can get away with doing that, then I'm doing just fine. No reason for me to get saved. The singing boy got in the way of a lost boy getting to Jesus. He got in the way of a sinner. He says we're creating an excuse for a sinner. Gerald Smith said that the next morning at school, he got a call over the intercom. That boy and his brother on their way to school in the snow slid off the road. The car flipped, but both of them died on impact. God removed the sinner removed the person out of the way of the sinner. He was the boy standing in the way of Gerald Smith, one of the greatest preachers ever getting saved, and God pushed him out of the way. God smashed him out of the way. God takes this thing very seriously. It's very easy for us to crawl up in our cave like Elijah did and think we're all on our own on this thing. Nobody else cares. Nobody else knows what's going on in my life. Like it doesn't matter what we say or what we do. Elijah thought he's the only prophet left to God. He thought what he did didn't matter. But he wasn't. It's very easy for us to get to ourselves and think we're the only ones. Think it doesn't matter what we do. Think other people are watching every step we take. It matters what we do. It matters what you say outside of this church. It matters what you're doing. People are watching while sinners are watching you. People need to see there's something different about serving God. They need to see the salvation you have is real. It's not just something you say on Sunday mornings. It's not just something that makes you feel better when you're sick. They need to know the salvation is real. And they need to know there's an actual change in your heart. If there's no change in you, you best do some checking up of your own. This is eternity. This how you serve God matters. Matters for eternity. If you're serving on Sunday, serving yourself the rest of the time, you're going to end in disaster. The Lord's not going to put up that with forever. You best be careful. Ananias and Sapphira tried to do the same thing. They served God halfway too. At church, they were good people. They were giving supposedly all their money to the church, what they sold. God killed them on the spot because they were liars. Killed them in the church. Young people in the church carry them out and bury them outside of the church. It says in Revelation that God hates people being lukewarm. It says it makes him sick. Revelation 3:16. It says, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Jesus says, because you're backslidden, you make me puke. That's what God the Father says about something like that. Are you standing in the way of a sinner? And say this very carefully. I know some work and things like that. I do understand that. You have to provide for your family. Coming to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night ought to be priority in your life. Ought to be number one priority. Serving God, every chance you get, ought to be your priority. There's a lot of other extracurricular things you can do that are fun, that are good things for your family. Serving God ought to be your number one priority. Coming to this church, serving Him, every chance, every time the doors are open, ought to be what your goal is every week. You ought to try to be here every chance you get. You ought to try to serve Him every chance you get. If people see that you're only here, a lot of people look at church and say, I'm not saying everybody here is like that. A lot of people look at church like it's an extracurricular activity. Like if they don't have anything else to do, then I'll go to church. You best be careful living a life like that. People are going to see what you're doing. They're going to see it doesn't really matter to you. The Lord's not going to take that lightly. Are you standing in the way of a sinner? Are you the reason that somebody might not come to church? Are you the reason somebody might not get saved? This is convicting to me. I don't know about you. That scares me to death. I don't want anybody's blood on my hands. I'm a sinner just like everybody else. I make mistakes. I trip up. I don't want to stand anybody else's way. What about you? Are you standing in somebody's way? They're watching you. This world is watching to see if what we have is real enough. New Hope Baptist Church, we can make a difference in this town. But you're going to have to purpose in your heart to live what you say. My dad used to tell me all the time growing up, if you're going to walk the walk, you got to talk the talk. And he was right. He said it in his own way, but he was right. If you're going to say it, you best walk it, you best live it. Otherwise, your people are going to see right through you, and you're going to affect their eternity. Let's pray. Lord, thank this church here. Lord, thank you for New Hope Baptist Church. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to preach tonight, Lord. Thank you for helping us in the service. Lord, I pray. Is any lost here that can save us too late? Lord, I pray. Is any backslidden? Lord, I pray you reclaim them. Lord, I pray you help me. Lord, I pray you help me keep my eyes open. Help me realize what I'm doing. Help me watch my testimony, Lord. Lord, I pray you bless people here. Lord, thank you for the blessing they are to me. In Jesus' name, amen.